Part 1. Hunt. 1. For a long time, it had ceased to trouble him to kill. The town of Corinne was behind him, together with its gambling dens and saloons and bars full of angry men. Not 2 hours ago, Ming had killed a man, and already in his mind, the memory of it had begun to give way to the fire of imagination. In perhaps a day's time, he would come round the northern horn of Salt Lake, and the monstrous shimmer of the railroad on the horizon would draw near and become visible as iron and wood. For now, only the lake lay before him. At length, the sun dropped to the surface of the lake and pressed a while against its own reflection before slipping under. Ming made camp and kindled a fire and took off his boots, brushed what seemed thousands of crushed brine flies off his socks. The smell of rot tinged the air. The man Ming had killed was named Judah Ambrose, a former labor recruiter for the Central Pacific, who kept at his hip a 5-shot revolver with bored-out cylinders designed for cartridge ammunition instead of the usual cap and ball. Ming had seen such a weapon before, but had never waited one in his hands until that moment when he stood over Judah's crumpled body and hefted the dead man's gun. It was still warm when he picked it up. The hammer had been left cocked, its trigger waiting for the pressure of a finger. Judah's finger. He had gotten a shot off before Ming killed him, but the round had gone wide, missing Ming by a foot and a half. Now, as Ming sat by his campfire, he swung out the cylinder of Judah's revolver and counted 4 live rounds and 1 spent. The gun was worth a lot of money, and he would keep it, even if he could find no more rounds. He turned the gun from side to side in the thin moonlight and watched his reflection on the blue steel barrel skew and warp. As the fire burned, the logs blackened to charcoal and then to ash, and the moon sank beneath the horizon and morning cut into his reverie. He thought he had slept, and this was enough. His mouth, thick with thirst, Ming drained the last of his canteen and began moving again. Before noon, he was but a mile and a half from the head of the Union Pacific. He reckoned he was 50 miles from the head of the Central Pacific, just west of the horn of the lake. Lingering in the shade of an overhang, Ming pulled from his pack a scratched spyglass and scanned the Union Pacific camp. The Irish gangs there graded an incline and laid out ties 1, 2, 3, drove spikes 1, 2, 3. Hammerfalls sounded out a clanking rhythm, punctuated by the shouts and calls of men. A dozen horses stood tethered to their posts, their long necks bending now and again to drink water. Other horses sauntered around ferrying bosses whose eyes were shaded under wide-brimmed hats. A fire burned almost invisible in the sunlit desert. Ming set down the spyglass, spat on his thumb, cleaned front and rear lenses as best he could. He sighted the scope and found it no clearer, then pointed it out west, tracing possible routes across the barrens. He needed a horse. He glassed the camp once more. A locomotive came down the line and stopped at the end of the rails. Men scrambled over the engine, the air above its boiler twisting in the heat. After a few minutes, the locomotive set off back in the direction it had come from. Ming lowered the spyglass and tucked it back into his pack. He would approach them in darkness. For now, there was work to be done. A man must make his preparations. By a clutch of salt grass, Ming dug into the dirt with his hands until the earth grew cold and damp under his fingernails. He peered into the hole, saw the lacquer gleam of water seeping into the bottom. He dipped a finger into the cold water and tasted it. Saline, but drinkable. With broad swipes of his hands, he widened the hole until he could fit his empty canteen flatwise into the pit. The water filled his canteen at a trickle, and when it was near full, he recorked it and returned it to his pack, and he swept the excavated dirt back into the hole, then leveled the earth smooth with the blade of his hand. A body must pass through the world traceless.